Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And then we will be there in just a moment. Emily Hanson has our song tonight, so we'll enjoy hearing from Emily as she comes. You listen to the song, and then we will be in Joshua 5 for a little while. Song. Wonderful. Joshua chapter 5, we're going to be on the subject of in His presence again. I was reading for devotions through this passage. In fact, end of last week, I think I told you Sunday, I knew where I was going, unless the Lord changed my mind on it. He didn't. This has been on my heart a little bit. It may be one of the lessons that you don't need tonight. Put it away, store it for the future, because everybody will need it at some point along the way, no doubt. So, I want to talk about in His presence tonight when preparing for battle. When preparing for battle. We've looked at different needs, different times that would bring us to the prayer closet, that would bring us to the presence of God. And we're going to look tonight at the subject in His presence when preparing for battle. So we're going to ask God's help now. Lord, bless us, I pray, in these moments. And Lord, we may not need each lesson for the moment. We may not need it tonight or tomorrow, but down the road of life, every person will need every lesson that has been taught so far. Some may already have used it, ones that have been taught. Lord, I know that I've leaned upon some of those lessons already. And I may not need this one tonight, but I'll need it. I needed it in the past, and I may need it in the future. So help me tonight, Lord, deliver this truth. And bless the folks, give us a listening heart. And readiness, Lord, to hear, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine the shock and the awe that Joshua must have felt when he saw the city of Jericho for the first time? Now, You understand that he has been with the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, okay? In the wilderness. They called it wilderness wanderings because that's what it was. It was wilderness. You ever look at a map of the 40-year wandering of the children of Israel, you'll find out, friend, even today, that a lot of those areas are still very wilderness, sparsely populated type areas. And that's where they've been for 40 years. They probably had not seen anything remotely similar to what Jericho looked like over that whole period of 40 years. And when they crossed over the River Jordan, and they just crossed over it, into the land of promise, and now there it was. And we've talked about those immense walls. And you know, you read different historians, and they kind of have different perspectives about what the walls of Jericho were like. Some think there were two sets of walls, an outer set and an inner set, and that the one was 30 feet high and the other was like 12 feet high. I don't know. I know this much. They were big walls. People lived on top of those walls, and it was a pretty formidable city. I know that for sure. And here he saw that city for the first time. And he knows he's got to go fight against those folks. And it presents a very strategic battle that needs to be won. It can't be lost. You see, because the kings of Canaan and the kings of the Amorites were already disheartened in their spirit because of what they had heard about the children of Israel. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 5 in your Bible there. Same chapter, chapter 5, verse number 1. It came to pass. Now, they've already crossed over. So it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. These are people on the west side of Jordan in the land of Canaan, and they're already disheartened and discouraged. Their spirit is gone from them because of what they heard about the people of Israel crossing over the River Jordan. God dried it up to some degree, and then they went across, they put their feet in the water and came right across. So they're already discouraged. Now, you know, to keep the momentum going, winning this first battle would keep that momentum going and keep the enemy discouraged. But so it's very strategic that they win it. But as they had camped east of the city for some time, they crossed the Jordan River. Here's the city over here. As they'd camped east of the city for some time, the walls were growing larger and larger in their eyes. And you can understand why. You can appreciate that. Okay? And they're just getting larger and larger. Here's this large, formidable city. So you imagine the anxiety that was in their heart as they waited to go to war against this seemingly insurmountable city. Now, understand, folks, we're looking on the backside of the story. We know they're going to walk around. We know the walls are going to fall. We know all that. We're on the backside of it. They're on the front side of it. Walls haven't fallen yet. Okay? They haven't walked around yet. They haven't fought any battles in Canaan yet. This is the first one. And here they are, new people in a new land, facing this formidable city. Big, big, formidable city. So here it is. They're anxious, all right? Verse number 13 of Joshua chapter 5. Here it is. And it came to pass, verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? So Joshua, maybe he's out walking. You know, he's taking in the situation. He's the captain of the team here and the leader, the general. So maybe he's out scoping the landscape and seeing what's happening. And he looks up and he sees this warrior, an unfamiliar warrior. Doesn't recognize him. He's not one of his men. And he has a drawn sword in his hand. And being the general, being the leader, he's got to take the initiative. So he goes over to this man and he asks him a question. I want to find out his mission, Joshua thinks. He says, are you for us or are you for our enemy? Whose side are you on? Is that sword against us or is that sword to help us? Are you an Israelite or are you a Canaanite? Identify yourself. Talk to me. Identify yourself. Well, verse number 14, look what the Bible says here in verse number 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. So the warrior identifies himself as captain of the host of the Lord. I want you to see what Joshua does in verse 14. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? So this man identifies himself as the captain of the host of the Lord. Immediately Joshua's on his face on the ground and he begins to worship this man. Now we know from reading this, we realize from this that the captain was none other than Jesus. I believe with all my heart it's one of these Old Testament appearances of Jesus Christ. He made several during the Old Testament dispensation. And I believe this is one of those. And Joshua finds himself in the presence of Jesus Christ. Joshua is preparing for a great battle, and we find him on the eve of this battle worshiping the Lord. In his presence, worshiping the Lord. On his face, in his presence, worshiping the Lord. The lesson for us, folks, to learn in this is that worship is the best preparation for war. The best preparation for war. And here's the reason why. The battles that we fight are not physical, but spiritual. Paul said in the New Testament, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, battles come in all sorts of form, and they come in all levels of severity. But they cannot be won by physical means. Battles must be engaged in the power of the captain of our salvation. And the most successful preparation for battle takes place in his presence. Here's a little statement. Worship must precede war. Worship must precede war. Before you go to battle, you got to get in his presence. Before you fight the battle, you need to be on your face before God, worshiping Him. This is exactly what Joshua did. Joshua went into his presence and he learned here that the captain had come. I believe I see three reminders that the captain gave Joshua right on the precipice of the biggest battle Joshua had faced to this point in his life. I see three reminders. And by the way, you might not need this tonight. You may not be in a battle tonight, but I'll promise you, if you live for Christ long enough and you stay enlisted in the Lord's army, you're going to fight some battles. Some of you already have fought some battles. And some of you might be fighting some battles tonight. All kinds. But you will fight some if you're not now. And I'll tell you something, friend. The way to fight battles is not in the power of the flesh. The way to fight battles is in the power of the Spirit. And this is what we're finding out here. Before you go to war, you need to go to worship. Three reminders the captain gave Joshua before they went to battle in Jericho. Number one, the captain gave him a reminder of his power. A reminder of his power. I like what verse 13 says. He says, behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. The captain possessed a drawn sword. This was a representation of his power. And what power he came with. Soon the walls would fall down. Without one shot being fired, without one grenade being tossed, without one flaming torch being thrown into the city, with just walking around in obedience to God and praising Him, and the walls are going to fall down flat. That's called power. God's power. Now, the Israelites didn't have the power to knock those walls down. And you and I don't have the power to engage in the battles that we got to fight in sometimes. But when we go to the presence of God, when we get in His presence, when we worship Him preceding the battle, we'll be reminded of His power. And that's one of the great advantages of worshiping before going to war. It's to be reminded again of His great power. Folks, listen, our battles may find us toe-to-toe with the enemy himself. I mean toe-to-toe with the enemy himself. Fighting against Satan. Our battles may find us going against the enemy with circumstances that were created by his doing. Our battles may be against walls of deception erected by the enemy. We talked about that before. walls of deception. Our battles may be against those of our own household who are manipulated by the enemy. That happens sometimes. Those of our own household. You say that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. Don't you remember when Jesus foretold that He was going to the cross? And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. No, 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 you're not going to do that." Remember what Jesus said to him? "Get thee behind me, Satan." Doesn't mean Peter was possessed by Satan. I don't believe Peter was possessed by Satan for a minute. I believe Peter was manipulated by Satan. I believe we can be manipulated by Satan. Sure. I believe those of our own household, those of our own church family can be manipulated by Satan. We may find ourselves in a battle of that magnitude against the enemy. And I want to tell you something, friend. The enemy is powerful. Powerful. Paul described these battles as against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Isn't it interesting? He used the word "against" in every phrase. He didn't say maybe powers or principalities or spiritual wickedness in high places or this or that, rulers of the darkness. No, he said you're going to fight against powers. And when you get done with that battle, you're going to fight against principalities. And when you get done with that battle, you're going to fight against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And when you get done with that battle, you're going to fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'll tell you something. So too many times we go into spiritual battles engaged in the power of the flesh. Amen. It happens within the confines of our own homes. You can't fight spiritual battles in the power of the flesh. You have to be reminded that He is powerful. And that's what happened here. As Joshua got on his face, he was reminded of the omnipotence of Almighty God. And brother, if there's ever an encouragement, I know parents with young children. I remember facing battles with some of the children we had when they were young. And I'm going to say, I mean battles. Not demon-possessed children. Children manipulated by Satan. I remember the battles we fought in our own home. And you cannot engage those in the power of the flesh. And before you go to battle, before you go to war, you need to go to worship. And when you go to worship, you'll be reminded of just how powerful Jesus Christ is. Omnipotent. All powerful. There is none with more powerful than our Savior. There's only one who can make the claim of being all powerful. That is our Captain, Jesus Christ. And time spent worshiping in His presence is time spent being encouraged and uplifted and reminded of the provision of His I wonder if you need that. I wonder if you need that. If you're in a battle tonight with some circumstance, you're in a battle tonight with some principality, in a battle tonight against some power that's bigger than yourself. And we get engaged in those sometimes. I'll tell you, when we do, we can't afford to fight them in the enemy, in the strength of our flesh. Fight the enemy in the strength of our flesh. Got to be in the power of the Spirit. That's why it's so important that worship precedes war. Hey, you remember when Paul was on that ship going to Rome and that storm came? Remember him jumping up on the deck and saying, "Hey, fellas, cheer up." Remember that? Be of good cheer. These are seasoned sailors. They haven't seen the sun in 14 days. The sun is the means by which they navigate the ship. They haven't seen the sun for 14 days. They're lost. They have no idea where they're going, and the storm is raging. And Paul pops up on the deck and says, "Hey, smile." Some of you should try that tonight. Smile. Say, "Oh, you don't know the battle." Smile anyway. You know where you get your smile? You get it in the prayer closet. That's where you get it. Paul jumped up on the deck of that ship and he said, "Fellas, smile. Be of good cheer. Nobody's going to die." Now let me ask you a question. Where did Paul get that? Where did Paul? That's a proof of God's power right there. Deliver everybody from that storm. Nobody die. Ships torn apart in broken boards and pieces and nobody dies? What do you call that? You call that power. You call that God. And you know where Paul was before he jumped up on the deck of that ship and said, hey, folks, smile and be happy. We're not going to die. You know where he was before that? He was in the bowels of that ship in the prayer closet. In the presence of God. And this is exactly what Joshua found out. Are you for us or against us? He said, no, I'm here. He got a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua fell on his face. He was reminded of his power before he engaged the enemy in battle. He had a great uplifting and encouraging reminder of just how powerful God is. And I'll tell you what, I believe Joshua needed that. I believe there are times when I've needed that. There will be times when I need that in the future. I believe there's times when you're going to need that. You go to battle, you need to be reminded, he's all powerful. He's all powerful. Number two, there was a second reminder. Not only a reminder of his power, but number two, a reminder of his presence. I love the little words in the Bible. They're nothing insignificant or coincidental about the book God gave us. Look at verse 14. And he says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. I love it. I love it. A reminder of his presence. I'm here and I'm here now. Before the battle begins. Before the battle starts, I'm here. So Joshua asked the warrior to identify his loyalty. Are you one of us? Are you one of them? Who are you? Canaanite? Israelite? No. I'm not a Canaanite. I'm not an Israelite. In fact, I'm not even of this world at all. I am the captain of the host, the commander-in-chief of the army of the host of heaven. And the whole army of heaven is at my disposal. And this warrior said to Joshua, I am here now. My presence is with you now. His presence was not going to come 2 or 3 days into the battle. His presence wasn't going to come after the battle. His presence was with Joshua before the battle started. And I'll tell you what, that's encouraging, friend. That's what Joshua needed. In his presence, Joshua learned that the captain was with him now, would never leave him nor forsake him. So the presence Joshua spent time in prayer with would accompany him on the battlefield. Folks, the truth is, the presence should be secured in prayer, not in battle. It should be secured ahead of time, not when you get in the middle of it. That's the way most of us fight our battles. We get engaged in the battle, and about halfway through we say, well, you know what? I think I need the Lord. It's a little late. It's not too late. But how much better would it have been to get the Lord's presence before the battle began? Be reminded of his presence. Be reminded that God's with me. I'm going to battle. He's with me now. He won't leave me or forsake me. This is, again, Paul on that ship. He popped up on that deck and he said, fellas, I just want you to know the angel of God stood by me tonight. I sensed his presence. God is with us and he's going to be with us. And so Joshua was not only reminded of his power, Joshua was reminded of his presence. And I want to tell you, when you get in the battle, it'll be good to know that the presence is with you. The presence of God is with you. And you get that, you get the security of that, the reminder of that in the prayer closet before the battle ever begins. We're talking about what to do before the battle starts here. We're talking about being in prayer, being in his presence before the battle begins, at the very beginning. A reminder of his power, a reminder of his presence. And then I'm going to tell you the third one, a reminder of his position. Look at verse number 14 and 15, what it says here. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And this is what got my attention, and I wondered to myself, why did God tell him to take off his shoes? I was reading through here, and I thought, you know, this is strange. You know, he's in the presence of the Lord. He's the captain of the Lord's host, and Joshua says, okay, Lord, what are my orders? Tell me what to do. I mean, he's the captain. He's the general. He's ready to go to war. Tell me what to do. And the Lord says, take your shoes off. The place where you're standing is holy ground. Joshua did so. Here's my point. Not only was it a reminder of his power, not only was it a reminder of his presence, but it was a reminder of his position. His position. Joshua was interested in what God wanted him to do. He is the go-getter, the let's get it on, let's get tangled up, let's fight, let's get the job done. Lord, tell me what to do. I am ready to engage in battle. He had overseen the crossing of the Jordan River, something Moses had never been privileged to do. He was now ready for the next assignment. Lord, just let me know and I will handle it. You know what Jesus said? He said, take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Settle in on your face. It was as if Jesus was saying, Joshua, do not let applause and glory and success go to your head. You remember who is responsible for your victories. You keep me preeminent in your heart above all others, and you keep me preeminent in your heart above yourself. You let me lead and you stay on your face. You follow me. You stay behind me. You keep me before you and you keep your eyes locked on me and all will be well. You let me lead and I'll take care of this thing. And I'll tell you what, folks, sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we're so anxious and we want to see fixed. We want to jump into it and just start rah. You know, sometimes the best thing to do is just slow down and let God walk you through the battle. Do you think if Joshua had formulated the battle plan that he would have walked around the city? You think that's what he would have done? Tell me what to do, Lord. Go get them, Joshua. Yes, sir. Okay, fellas, here's what we're going to do. Get your ammunition together. Get your swords. Get your spears. Get your bow and arrows. I want this battalion over here. I want this one over here. We're going to sound the trumpet. We're going to attack. And we're going to have three phases of an attack. You think, Joshua? You think. And you know what he would have met with? Defeat. He said, Joshua, you take your shoes off. Be calm. The ground, you're on this holy ground. You let me lead. You let me guide. You let me direct. You let me walk you through this thing. You follow me. You remember, folks, when you engage in a spiritual battle, it's not your fight, it's His. That's true. The battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. Let Him lead. Let Him, you know, I don't know how to verbalize sometimes the things that are in my heart. I wish I had a better way to do it. And I have to protect I have to protect my own family. I have to protect my own children. But we've been through circumstances. You'll have all kinds of situations with your children. And if you have multiple children, you're going to have all kinds of kids. All kinds. Some are a piece of cake. Some are a piece of rubber. I don't know. Oh, brother. I shouldn't tell this because some of you kids will go home and do this and then you're going to get whooped and the parents are going to blame it on me. Steve Blanchett told me the funniest story the other day. I have laughed about this. His little grandson, Landon, 3, 4. He told Alan. He said, we need to go in the next room and have a talk. So Alan took him in there and he said, Dad, these spankings are not working. He said, something up here just tells these bones to hit my sister. And then I get a spanking, and then the thing up there just tells these bones to hit my sister. What would make a child think something like that? Then Emily gets on to him, really drops a hammer on him one day, and I don't know if she sent him to his room or he went to his room, and he got Mr. Potato Head. And he started putting all the things on Mr. Potato Head, and he put the tongue sticking out. He took it to the door and stuck it out in the hall. Can you imagine? Where are they? Now, all you boys and girls need to listen. Don't you go home and put your, don't you go home and do your Mr. Potato Head like that. Shame on you. I'm sure he got in trouble. But, and I don't know much about Al and Emily's children, but I'm just saying, it doesn't sound like he's a piece of cake. And sometimes, you know, but I mean, good night. I'm not talking about now abandoning Bible discipline. I'm not talking about that. But I am saying that it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And in our rush to fix it now, sometimes we don't fix it. Make it worse. Y'all listen tonight? And there's the need to slow down. And before you go to war, go to worship and make sure that you're in the right position. Make sure that you're following His lead. Make sure that you're following His direction. Make sure that you're following His battle plan, not yours. Slow down. Take your shoes off, Joshua. This is holy ground. The best place for you to stay, but the best thing for you to do right now, stay right where you are. That's what he told Joshua. Stay right there. On your face. Let me just talk to you. And by the way, he began to tell him in chapter 6. Take the men, put them in these kind of order, walk around the city, do that one time for 6 days, blow the trumpets, do it on the seventh day, 7 times. He started, where was Joshua? On his face, in his proper position. Y'all getting this? Understand what I'm saying? So it was a reminder of his position. So here's the unseen. Here's the unfamiliar warrior. His sword is drawn. Joshua says, who are you? Identify yourself. You one of us or you one of them? He said, no. I'm not either. I'm not from this world. I'm from above. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord's army. And I've come to remind you of my power and my presence and my position. And if you'll engage the battle with those reminders, you'll probably win it. But if you engage the battle in your own strength, you're probably going to lose it. Amen. So that's in His presence preparing for battle. Now you say, Pastor, I have no idea what kind of battle you'd be talking about. Oh, I think a lot of you do. I think a lot of you have been there, and I think some of you will be there, and the battles come. And they're not physical. In His presence, worship must precede war. Worship must precede war. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Humbly follow. God told him, you keep me first and you just let me lead. Dear Lord, bless our folks. Bless us tonight. Simple, simple thoughts. Nothing profound in this, deep theologically. But Lord, I hope it's practical. Lord, I hope and pray that you'll please register. You do, Lord, your Spirit can take what I make a jumble out of and make it clear and concise into the heart of the needy person here. And Lord, I thank you down through the years for your power and your presence and your position in the battle. And when we engage in that, I pray that we'll be reminded of these things in our prayer time. Help us not to engage the battle in the physical, but in the spiritual, Lord, please. In Jesus' name.